with me to John chapter 15. This is Memorial Day weekend, and I remember as a young lad in northeast Minnesota watching the Memorial Day parade. It was a small community. Seeing the VFW and the American Legion men and women marching down the street, proud to have served and humbled yet thankful for the recognition, thankful that they could still get into their uniforms, without having to expand them. And then there would come a band, probably the high school band. Sometimes we would be privileged to have a military band with colors, and they would be playing some very lively marches, probably by a gentleman that most of you may not remember by the name of John Philip Sousa. And then normally Army or Marine Corps, National Guard or Navy would unit would come marching by. And it was so wonderful. And it instilled in me a sense of patriotism for our country and awe for those military men and women, not only those who were alive, but those who had fallen in line of duty for their country. And tomorrow, all across this great nation, this great country of ours, in almost every city and town and village, there's going to be services of one kind or another honoring those who gave their lives for others on the battlefield. These warriors gave their lives for families and friends and for a multitude of people that they didn't even know and would probably never have met had they lived. But nevertheless, they gave their lives. And these fallen heroes, whether they be male or female, they willingly went. They willingly gave up their lives. I remember when my father passed away, they gave me a little cigar box, and in it was a bronze star that he had won in a diary. And here was this young lad from northern Minnesota, never been away from home, and went over to fight in France. And he wrote of his exploits, never spoke of himself, always of the others. And how odd he was, honored he was to be a part of that unit. And these people should be honored. You know, they sacrificed their life. And you know, Jesus spoke of such sacrifices in the Gospel of John. And if you're with me in John chapter 15. Now, this gospel was written by the gentleman whose name it bears, John. He belonged to Jesus' inner circle. He was the younger brother of the other apostle, James. And he was writing in the Gospel of John, he was writing to the church of Asia Minor. And that would be modern day Italy and Greece and Turkey and Egypt and Libya and Israel and Lebanon. And I'm sure I've left out a few, but that's who he was writing to. And in chapter 1, it's interesting, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, it's called the prologue. And what it is John is dealing with the theological implications of the first coming of Jesus. That's when he came to earth as a human being. And then in verses 19 to 34, John deals with being the forerunner of the Messiah. He talks about that, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And then in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 41, we see where Jesus chooses the first disciples. Chapters 2 through 21 in John, or 2 through 12, I'm sorry, gives insight into Jesus' public ministry. And in chapters 13 through 21, it relates Jesus' private meetings and ministry to his disciples. And in John chapter 15, we're getting insight into some of those private moments that Jesus had with his disciples. We're kind of like a fly on the wall. we're getting some insights here. And so in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he says to them, I am the vine and you are the branches. And what he's doing there is he's letting them know that without a close relationship with him, Jesus, they would not and could not continue as his disciples. Not because Jesus was going to kick them out, but because Jesus knew that if they did not have a close relationship with him, that Jesus would fall by the wayside. And the teachings would be overcrowded by the enemy and by the cares of the world. And so they would lose all desire and motivation to continue as his disciples. Jesus would fall by the wayside, so to speak. And then we come to John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. And it really looks like Jesus is switching topics, because in verses 1 through 12, he talks about, I am the vine, thee are the branches. And then in verse 12, he says to them, in John 15, he says this, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And so Jesus was really giving the disciples a threefold message here. Number one, he was telling them, I want you to love others, not as you feel like it, not as the moment dictates, not if you've had a bad hair day, but I want you to love others as I have loved you. And you know, just as a word of encouragement, I know over the years when I have been tempted, we all have met people that are a challenge in human relations. That's a nice way to put it. In other words, they just get under your skin. And we would like them to take a flying leap in a rolling donut or hold their breath for 30 minutes or whatever. But one of the things that the Lord has taught me over the years, and I'm still learning, and I wish I could stand before you and tell you, boy, I know, but is this. When I'm deemed, when I want to get out of love with someone, I remember how much that the Lord loves me. You know, it makes it a little easier. It really does. And that was the first thing was Jesus was trying to tell them. Listen, you're going to run into some people that aren't very lovely. And you need to love them not as the situation dictates, not how they feel, or not how they act, but as I have loved you. Because love never fails. And then Jesus was preparing them for what was shortly going to happen to him. He was going to be crucified. And he was going to give his life not only for the disciples and not only for the Jews, but for anyone who would receive him. See, Jesus always practiced what he preaches. And he had just said to them, greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his life. Lay down his life. And so Jesus was going to practice that. And so Jesus was not only preparing for what he was going to happen to him, his physical death, but I believe that Jesus was also talking about the ingredients, the elements that make up his life. When we give of the elements of our life, when we give of our finances, when we give of our wisdom, when we give of our experience, when we give of our love, that is another way that we are giving of our life, so to speak. And it may not be the ultimate sacrifice of our physical bodies, but what was it that Jesus said, or the Apostle Paul said in Romans, make your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. What was it, those words that Patton said? I won't repeat them verbatim here, but he said, you don't want to make the other gentleman, I'll use that term, he didn't use that, die. You don't want to die for your country. You want to make the other man die for his country. And what Jesus, when we began to give of the elements of our life, we're giving of our life, we're giving of what we have. What is required of us in that moment of time, in that situation? And this was something that Jesus did time and time and time again when he was here on the earth. Time and time again. Before Jesus ever laid down his physical life, he gave of his elements of his life. Remember when he stopped to talk to the Samaritan woman at the well, he gave not only of his time, but he gave of his love, because he stopped. And Jews didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. And yet Jesus gave of his time and his love and of his godly encouragement. And because he did that, she ran off and told the whole village, come and see a man. When he healed the nobleman's son, he gave of his life. He became a conduit for God's healing to operate through him. You know, I can't heal anybody, but I can be a conduit as I lay hands on people for the Father to heal them. And when he fed the 5,000, Jesus became a conduit for the blessings of the Father to meet the physical needs of people who had physical needs. You know what I learned about what looking at Jesus? He often realized that he needed to minister to the natural man first before he could get to the spiritual man. He took care of. Do you know in good management they've learned that? They've learned that if you are in management in a corporation and you have people that have a need, well, I do better, but the lighting, then meet the need. Meet the need. And then I could go on and on, but you get the point. You understand that time and time again, Jesus gave, long before he ever physically gave of his life, he gave of the elements of his life, in that he gave his time and his love. You know, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, said this in Philippians 2. He said, let this mind be in you all, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he emptied himself, voided himself of all heavenly privileges, taking upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the form of a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. And the Apostle Paul was trying to tell the people at Philippi, give what you have. Give what you have. Do what you have in your life today. And what you have in your life today that you give to someone can be a blessing. And maybe point them to Christ. Or maybe if they know Christ, to encourage them in their walk. You know, unless someone is honest with us and shares with us what's in their heart, we don't know what's in the mind of people. We can guess. You know, if somebody's pointing a gun at me and cocks it, I got a pretty good idea what they've got in their mind. But you know what? We never know how, when we began to give of ourselves, the elements of our life, the ingredients that God has blessed us with. You know what? You as an individual have something that your parents don't have, your aunts, your uncles don't have, no one in the world has but you. And that's your uniqueness. Your uniqueness. You're unique in a way that nobody else is. And when we're brought in contact with other people, as we willingly began to give of our love, a word of encouragement, give the elements of our life, we never know how we might be planting a seed where down the road someone might give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or they might be going through a time in their life when they want to end their life. And they think it's, and our encouragement keeps them from doing that. I want to encourage you this morning. What do you have in your life that maybe you can give someone that would be a blessing? Well, you don't understand. I'm not educated. It doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter your education. If you're a child of God, you have the very presence of the Almighty living within you. Maybe you've got some reading skills where you can read to someone whose eyes can't read much anymore. Or maybe they can't read. Maybe you can teach someone, if you're a farmer or a rancher or a businesswoman or a housewife, maybe you have skills that you can show someone how to do something. You know, this morning I was blessed with Nancy, and here she comes in, and I don't know how to run a Mac. I had no idea. And Leela was frustrated, and Sharon didn't know, and turned her. But you know what? She willingly gave. She willingly gave. I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe in your current occupation, you've got some element in your life that you could give. Some godly skill that you've acquired that you can give to somebody else. Well, you don't. You know what? That's the devil. The devil will come along and tell you, you know what? You're just worthless. You know that, Dennis? I just never seen anything like this. I don't even know how you got a beautiful woman like that. Don't listen to me. Don't let the devil tell you these things. Don't. If you're a child of God, you have living within you the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have something to offer. You've got something to offer. You know what? The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. Let me tell you something. It's the little things that we do. It's the little things we do that make the world a difference. Maybe you have a prayer you can pray with them to ease their burden. And not, oh God, help them out. And then walk off and say, God, help my unbelief, because I don't know how you're going to help them. You know, no, that's not the way we do that. No. Be encouraging to them. You know, the Bible, Jesus told his disciples, greater love is no man than this, that to lay down one's life for a friend. And that is true, because the Bible says so. But you know what? Sometimes it's harder to give what we have than entertaining the thought of laying down our life. Oh, I'll give my life if I have to. That's no big deal. Yeah, they can shoot me. Well, brother, could you help me out? Well, you know, I just don't have the time right now. Sometimes it's harder to give the elements of our life, and no condemnation, no guilt, no guilt trip. You know, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. But you know, Pastor Jeremy made the statement of what a wonderful church you are. Brother, I've only been here a little over a year, and I realize that. You've got a uniqueness. And I can tell you right now, 90% of your neighbors are not going to come up and tell you, you know, I need this. I need you to pray with me. Or I've got a problem. No, they're not going to do that. I know the stock they came from. I was raised in that among the Norwegians and the Swedes and the Finns and the Germans. You know, I never understood my dad. My grandma used to teach in Terry, and she was a good Swede and a Norwegian, and she married this Englishman, and of course, you know, they've got a stiff upper lip and all of that sort of a thing. And then my dad goes out and marries 100% Hungarian, like a gypsy. And I thought, wow, how did you do that? I mean, totally opposites. And your neighbors, because of their upbringing, they're not going to tell you. But you've got something to offer. In exhorting the elders at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul states, remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you give of yourself, you're giving. Two reasons. First of all, number one, the Bible says, given it shall be given unto you. You know, one of the things that I learned very quickly when I felt the Lord call me into the ministry, I get twice as much from teaching. I learned so much. When you give, you get so much back. You get so much back. It's unbelievable. And I'm not necessarily talking about in physical things. But you get so much back when you give. As a matter of fact, in Luke he said, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking and running over. Men will give unto your bosom. And he's not just talking about finances. And you know the second reason why it's more blessed to give than to receive? Because if I can give, that means I don't have to be given to. That means I'm not lacking. That means I've got it to give. That doesn't mean I have to be wanting someone to give it to me. See, it's better to have that you can give than to be in need and you hope somebody will give. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand that? I'd much rather have and give. Yes, if need be, we should be willing to lay down our lives for our friends. And I don't believe there's anybody here that I've met that wouldn't be willing to do that. But I want to encourage you today. What about giving just a part of your life to someone who needs it? That word of encouragement. Can I have a word of prayer with you? Our fallen military men and women have given the ultimate act in their love and life, and rightfully so, that they're going to be honored. And at this time in our country's history, we are not engaged in a war that requires the physical presence of our men and women to be on foreign soil in harm's way. We're blessed in that we don't have that. But I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you. But we are engaged in a battle of good and evil, folks. We're engaged in a battle of right and wrong. We are. And one of the ways that we can become involved is as we began to choose to give what we have. Our godly love. Our godly prayers, whatever skills that we have, if we will begin to give them in the name of the Lord, asking Him to bring it honor and glory and blessing to Him. You know what? When we do that, we're not only setting a godly example for the next generation, but we're making a difference in this generation here and now. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his country. What do you have that you could give this morning? God's not asking you to give your physical life. I want to encourage you. There's just something about being able to help someone, not for the recognition, but seeing the needs be met. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time in our country that we have not ceased to honor those who, through their sacrifices, have bought and paid for us being able to come and worship you in the way we want to worship you. And Lord, I thank you for you giving of your life freely. And Heavenly Father, how you willingly allowed your Son to come. Lord, I would ask this morning that you would encourage us. Give us insights, Lord, on how we can give of our life, not the physical, unless it's the ultimate requirement, but how we can give of our time, our skill. We can give of the love that you have placed within us so that, Lord, we can point others to you, to your love, because you are the ultimate giver. Not only in everything that you had, but you were the ultimate giver in giving your life. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you have a song for us?